Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime To Go. What can I get for you?
Look, I'm here trying not to get a traffic ticket. I need you to give me a case that's really, really ridiculous, but holds up the court in a major way.
Pull up to the second window, and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime To Go. I am John, here with Jamie, as always. I hope that you all have a fun time listening to these cases, because I sure am prepared to have a good time talking about them.
Yeah,
Jamie, how you doing, man?
I'm good. This is one that, I don't know. It's kind of frustrating to me. Like, it's entertaining. I like that it's adding different conversations to college athletics, but I just am so frustrated that it's taking so much time away from things that are more important.
When I was growing up and I started having conversations with my folks about what I would do when I grew up, I didn't know that you could be a sports attorney, you know, like an attorney who focuses their time on law in the sports field. But that's where we stand in 2026. Jamie, there's a high-profile case happening right now in Knoxville, Tennessee, with a young man named, I say young, that's relative, with a man named Joey Aguilar.
My Uncle Joey.
Who has played, he was a starting quarterback for the Tennessee Volunteers last year, did a really good job. He wants to have, I think, his seventh year in college football next year, and is tied up in a legal battle. This is a case that started with the quarterback from Vanderbilt, Diego Pavie, who did the same thing and won in court. But there's so many other high-profile cases. We can talk at least about two. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the Alabama basketball player before I go into my Joey story?
Yeah, there is one basketball player playing at Baylor who was drafted but never played in G League or the NBA. This individual, Charles Bediako, was also drafted. He played college for Alabama 3 or 4 years ago. He was drafted to the NBA, never made it out of the G League, which means he was playing in an NBA affiliate, getting paid to play professional basketball every day.
Equivalent of the minor leagues for the Major League Baseball.
Yes, and he decided that he wanted to go back to college, and he got a judge in Alabama, who is allegedly an Alabama donor, to file an injunction saying that he was eligible to play. He played, I think, 3 or 4 games, and then a judge, who I have to assume is an Alabama fan, overturned that decision. Now he's not eligible again. So many court cases that are taking up the court's time deciding who can play in a college basketball game.
So basically, Joey's case, and say his name again.
Charles Bediako.
Charles. I'm going to say Charles. So basically what they've done is they've went to court against the NCAA, but instead of going in a federal court where the cases like this probably should be heard, they're going through local civil court like trials or case.
So. And basically what they're filing is some sort of restraining order of the NCAA can't make this decision for me at this time. They don't have the legal right to do it is what they're suing for.
Yeah. So Joey Aguilar was mentioned as a plaintiff in the Diego Pavie case. That was in a state Supreme Court, if I'm not mistaken. But then he withdrew his name from that case and then filed personally in Knoxville, Tennessee, in just the regular old county courthouse, and with a very powerful attorney, an attorney who's actually represented people. You may have heard of Donald Trump. You may have heard of
some
of those guys. But he represented Donald Trump. So this is not a small-town attorney. And like you said, they filed an injunction, basically a restraining order, that said the NCAA is not allowed to prohibit him from playing. Basically, the argument is two things. Number one, the JUCO years should not count because they're not governed by the NCAA, and this is an NCAA rule. And then number two, this hurts him financially, so they're trying to claim damages. So originally, this last week, or 2 weeks ago, Joey Aguilar was granted the injunction temporarily and went to court on February the 13th. And there was no order given that day because the judge said, you're claiming damages, but you have not fully proven to me what the damages should be. So basically go get your ducks in a row, get more information and bring data back, and we can possibly make this happen. But even if it does get granted a temporary injunction, that certainly does not mean he's going to be eligible to play football in August. But my question is bigger than that, is what should the path be to formalize a plan to make this a level playing ground for everybody instead of leaving this up to local judges who definitely are biased, because if you're an Alabama donor, if you're a Tennessee donor, you should not be handling cases that benefit those universities.
Well, here's what's happening. For people who care about this, since NIL was declared legal, so players can be played based on their name, image, and likeness, the NCAA hates that. So what they have said is, we're going to step back and hope this whole thing falls apart so that Congress can step in and make laws about these things so that we don't have to be the ones to deal with it. Because there are a lot of legalities with the NCAA being a monopoly and some other things. Like, it's very messy legally. Congress, I think, is waiting around to say, nope, NCAA, you're going to have to find a way to make this, make blanket policies. Because right now it's the Wild West. Transfer, play, pay, whatever.
It literally is a dumpster fire with two firefighting agencies looking at it like, this is not my problem. This is your problem. No, this is your problem. And ultimately, the sport is going to just, I don't know, spiral even more out of control until somebody steps up and says, all right, here's how we're going to do things.
Yeah, and it seems, I mean, there were rules in place for 100 years of college athletics that you have this many years, you can get a clearance for a redshirt year, JUCO counts as this, but then NIL broke everything. Let's just get it tidied up, because ultimately, like you said, it's creating a headache for the sport. The sport looks terrible. The players are usually in a state of flux that they don't understand their future. Teams are the same way. Fans are the same way. And then the courts are bogged down with cases about whether this 28-year-old can play against this 18-year-old for Alabama, Northwest, Southern. And then, I don't know. I think it's a problem that we've created through negligence, and it needs to be addressed quickly and strongly. And just let's all move on. Pick a spot.
Yeah.
Crap or get off the pot, guys.
I think there's going to have to be some major NCAA oversight. The problem is they're a joke right now. So they can make a rule, but basically there's so many schools saying, nah, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
So, but then they have no power. So it's almost like Congress needs to give them more power, but that could be a train wreck.
Yeah, they don't. I think that's what they want, but that's not what Congress wants. But somebody's going to have to either privatize this whole thing, take it away from the NCAA, have college athletics be its own league of whatever, and move from, I don't know.
I volunteer as tribute. I would love to be the commissioner of all things football.
We will be the official podcast of the professional college amateur high-paying all-world football league.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it. I hate that it's bogging down the courts, and I hate that so many people are living in uncertainty because of it. Because you don't know, am I going to be playing against a guy who played against Wimby last week? Or am I going to be playing against somebody I played in high school 2 years ago? Like, what's the deal?
Honestly, another crime that should be looked into is the cost of tickets are outrageous, because we have to pay attorneys now.
Yes.
And our players. We're paying everybody. Everybody gets paid.
Except us.
Yeah. This has been a crime.
In 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.